Session number 17675, Sergeant Frederick White, Reel 12.
Sergeant White, Reel 12. You're telling me how the bugler had got himself captured?
Yes, he was captured in the desert, and of course eventually shipped over to Italy, then into Germany.
Do you know where he'd been held prisoner in Germany?
No, I don't know where he was held.
What happened to him eventually?
Well, he was only there the 2 days, and he didn't want to go back. He wanted to stay with us. Of course, that wasn't allowed. He was thrown back with others to the UK.
What sort of physical condition was he in?
He seemed to be quite good, though, himself. Some of them seemed to be worse than others, but he seemed quite good.
Was he the only DCLI man there?
He was the only DCLI man there. So, it was something to meet up somebody from the battalion again.
Was he a Cornishman?
No, he wasn't a Cornishman, no. I think he came from Birmingham. After that, although he was based in Lüneburg, he was also sent round to all different towns in Germany. Always playing to troops in this case.
So you're playing to garrisons in...
down to Hanover, Gütersloh,
and still Nuremberg. Still having nothing to do with the Germans?
Still nothing to do with the Germans. Not till VJ Day came along. And immediately they stopped the non-fraternisation band. And that evening we put a dance on, wondering what would happen. All the German girls came along.
No trouble at all?
No trouble at all.
What did you think when you heard of the use of the atomic bomb?
Well, that was a big surprise to me. I had no inclination of that anything like that was going to happen. I knew there was going to be a tough war out there, and it seemed to be these... taking Ireland after Ireland with lots of losses, although the Americans seem to be getting on top in the air and in the sea, and they had been having big successes then. But knowing how fanatical the Japanese were, I couldn't see them surrendering. Not yet a while, anyway.
Did you ever think that you might be sent back out to the Far East?
Well, it did cross my mind. But I thought to myself, well, in all our travels, I've never met another military band, not British military band. We all seemed to be the only one around the area all the time. Now, whether there was any more went at that time to Germany and that, I don't know. I've never heard of any. So, I don't know, we was kept pretty busy because of that anyway. You then had a bit more contact with the Germans. There was no trouble what they expected there to be. And I think everybody just got down to it. They was very hard up. Food was very, very short. British rations were very good, though.
So you were right.
Yes.
Did you see anything of the Russians while you were in Germany?
Not that particular moment, only much later.
What about the French or Americans, the other occupying powers? Did you see anything of them?
Well, where we were, we didn't see any Americans at all, not on our part. Mm. Or the French. It's pretty in the British zone we were all the time. We were supposed to have gone to Berlin when the first troops went in, but then there was a hold-up about that.
Do you know what caused the hold-up?
Well, it was the Russians. They couldn't get the agreement to let us go in yet. and they said we was overdue for leave. We wanted to go to Berlin with the first troops. They said, well, we don't know when it's going to be. You'll have to go on leave. Now, when we went on leave, we had to take everything back with us. They said, right, you're going to get 14 days leave, but it always turned out longer than that because we had to go to Bodmin first with all our equipment, instruments and all that, get that stored, then go on leave, then come back to Bodmin, then wait for movement control to say when we could go back. So sometimes it was several weeks before we got back.
And you did get back in the end?
Yes, we did. We did go back. Yes, and we always went back to Lüneburg.
It was your permanent base in Germany.
Yes. Of course, unfortunately, well, we say unfortunately, the British troops had gone into Berlin.
And you weren't there?
And we wasn't there with the first. But they did send us in the follow up afterwards.
Yeah. What time was that? What, do you remember when that was?
Well, this could have been July 45.
July 45. Mm. How did you get to Berlin?
Road transport. The usual 3-ton lorries. Incidentally, travelling around, some of these 3-ton lorries used to have bank seats in them, which we asked for. Most times we didn't get it. So there's no not a long journey we got. The seating accommodation wasn't there. So I forget what the unit was, but I did then say to Baumeister, we've got to do something about this. So with a unit, we got an issue of some chairs, which we then put on the lorries to sit down in, and also when we played concerts somewhere, we could sit down properly with it. So that's what we did.
What was the journey to Berlin like? Was there any trouble on that, or was it?
No, at that time there wasn't any trouble. We just went straight through, and we stopped at the Olympic Stadium, and we was billeting one of the outbuildings there. It was quite reasonable, and then we played at a few of the functions there. We did see Russians and Americans and French there, but we had no contact with them though. Because at that time there was free movement between East Berlin and French Berlin and the British side.
Yes, the sectors were open, weren't they, at that time? Did you go into the eastern part of Berlin at all?
At that time, no, I didn't. We didn't have time, really.
But you were just too busy playing.
Yes. So after that, we was come back to Lüneburg again, and the usual tour around. When it became to May 1946, we were sent into Denmark to celebrate their liberation. And we went up to the north part of the island. We found, I think it's called Aarhus.
Yes.
Isn't it? And there, we went by train up there, by the way, and as we come out the station, there was quite a big welcome committee there. And everybody spoke English, even that time. And they said, all your instruments and that, he said, we've got some police vehicles there, they will take that all away, you can forget about it. And then you're all billeted with different families. And they had a list there, so many people, we know, one, two, three, or whatever it is, all going on. Then he got to one family, he says, we've got to have somebody who can stand his drink. Well, I'm an heavy drinker or anything like that, but the bandmaster said to me, that's you. Discipline, I suppose. But anyway, I went with this family, and they had a big celebration for something there, and there was all sorts of people there. They had a quite big dining room there. They even had an Air Force officer there who was... came from Denmark.
He was a Danish Air Force officer? Or
No, British.
Royal Air Force.
Royal Air Force, but he came from Denmark. And there was no shortage of food that night, or drink. That went on to the early hours of the morning. In fact, I was a little bit under the weather, I think, next morning. Because...
Did you make it onto first parade?
Well, we got to... they collected us all up, took us to the police station, get our instruments out, and we had to march through the town. I was in agony. then we had to play a concert. I wasn't feeling anything too good about that either. And then we went into the sort of their town hall and had it laid out there for a meal for us. So we want to give you an English meal. So they gave us a roast beef dinner. The only thing is I couldn't eat a thing.
How did the rest of the members of the band get on?
Oh, marvellous. Marvellous for them. So that was quite a do.
Do you know who organised that for you, that visit to Denmark?
Well, from the army headquarters somewhere or the other. This, we just got the orders to go to Haros and that's off we went. Mm. Everything was organised. Oh, and then we came back to Lüneburg again. Well, eventually, after another leave in UK, came back to Germany again, and then decided that we would return to England for good, which we did do.
This is
back to Bodmin again.
This is in December 1946.
Yes. And then the 2nd Battalion D'Isle were disbanded.
When did that happen?
Shortly afterwards. And consequently, the band were disbanded. So, I was then left without a job. So, I wondered myself, well, what's going to happen now? Most of the band got then posted either to make the 2nd Battalion, 1st Battalion band up.
Yes.
And most of them then went off to other bands, especially to someone went to the New Power Regiment band, yes, had been newly formed, and to other staff bands.
What did you want to do? Did you have any ideas?
Well, I suppose if I'd hung on, I would have eventually found me one another band if there was a vacancy.
Yes.
That's the whole thing about it. So in the end, I said to the order room sergeant, I said, get onto records and see if there's any postings going I can go take to. So he then came back, he said, well, you can go to Taunton. He said, they're setting up a thing there to enlist boys in junior ranks regiment.
A junior leaders regiment.
Yeah, that's it, junior leaders in it. Bit prior to that, while I was hanging around, we started enlisting boys again, and several of them had applied, and I went to their house where the boy lived and saw the parents there to tell them what everything what to expect, and then the three cases where I went to, they all joined up.
Was this around Bodmin?
In Cornwall, anyway.
In Cornwall,
yes. Yeah. So anyway, the other posting was, they said you can get posted to the Ochsenbach Light Infantry,
yes,
in Lüneburg.
Yes.
Can you switch it off a minute? Mm. Well, the reason is this, that when I was in Lüneburg before, I had met my future wife.
How did you meet her?
Well, when we set up this sergeant's mess with the battle school, she was employed as a waitress there. And that came at a time when you could speak to Germans and all that. I couldn't speak a word of German, and she couldn't speak a word of English. Anyway, I was attracted to her, and then gradually we did get some sort of contact. But not a lot, because I was always going away and coming back again. I did let her know that I was very interested in it. Maybe we go on a further than that. No, she didn't want anything to do with that, to go any further with it. So it seemed to be that was the end of it. But I still kept in contact with her when I went back to England.
How did you maintain contact? Did you write?
I did write to her as much as I could. And then I did something which at that time I would have been court-martialed for. You can go in there now, they can't do much about it.
It is a bit late to do anything about
it. It's a bit late now. So in 1947 it must have been then, no tourist was allowed to go to Germany. So I thought to myself, I'm going to go back and visit her. So you had to get permission to go abroad, to go on leave, which I did do. I said I was going to Belgium, and I wasn't allowed to use uniform there. All right, I went to Belgium, took my uniform in the suitcase. I really didn't know what I was going to do. I was just planning it as day to day. How am I going to get into Germany? All right, I took a train then to the border of the Belgium and Germany, a very small place, but it was opposite Aachen. And in between that and there, there was just one big mass of woods. I put up to a restaurant there and got talking to the owner, who spoke quite good English, and I told him what I want to do. Well, he said, well, if you go up my back garden, he said, you'll see a pathway. He said, keep straight on, and then you'll meet a roadway. He said, right through these woods. He said, then cross over that roadway, and you're going into Germany then. If you keep straight on, you'll come into Aachen. I thought to myself, well, I don't know about this. But anyway, I started off. And,
in uniform? You were in uniform, you set off?
Yes, then I'll start. So then I'll change into uniform.
You changed into uniform. Yeah, I changed. Then you set off down the path.
Yes. No, that's not quite correct. I was still in civilians. Now, what they'd set up in Germany, the Control Commission of
Allied Control Commission.
Yeah, Allied yes. Control Commission. They always wore a big badge on their
yes.
coat and that. And I got one of these.
How did you get that?
Through knowing somebody in the Control Commission there. This is before I left Germany, before I got this. Something in the back of my mind, I might want to use it. No, I did travel in civilian clothes, and how am I going to keep in a straight line to find Cologne through woods? Well, I'm not a stargazer, but what I did, I thought to myself, well, I know stars move, but I'll pick that one out there and follow it through. And lo and behold, I got through the woods there and came onto the outskirts of Cologne. I had to pass a police post, probably there for people doing that type of thing, skirted around it and got into the town itself. Quite late at night. What can I do now? I saw a light at a window in a block of flats. I went up there and knocked on it. Two old German people there. Got talking to them. Tell them what I want to do. I wanted a train the next morning. Could they help me? So I stayed the night there with them. Gave him some cigarettes and coffee, what I had with me. And he went to the station and bought my railway ticket for me. But it had to go to Hamburg first. Now, being on the train in civilians, I didn't want the German people to question me at all or anything, or ask for a ticket, so I stuck on my Control Commission badge. Now, if any military had come along, which was would have been rather remote on that civilian train, I would have taken it off quick. So anyway, on the timing, getting to Luna, but it's quite a long journey from Arkander there. There should have been about 20 minutes time to change from one train into another to take me back to Lunenburg.
This is at Hamburg.
This is at Hamburg.
Yeah.
When I got to Hamburg, on the outskirts of it, what happened? The train stopped. Mm. And I missed the connection. And there I was in the middle of Hamburg. What am I going to do now? Staying all night. There was a train in the station there. There seemed to be a lot of people around it. And I found it was the Paris Express going through. Mm, nice to be on that train. Doesn't stop at Lüneburg though. I went up to the engine. Got talking to the driver there.
In English or in German?
Partly. My German was a bit sparse, but I spoke enough of it to make him understand. And told a lie. I said I was an English officer and I had to get back from my duty at Lüneburg that night. Could they help if I gave him some cigarettes? Worth everything over there. He had a conversation with his fireman there. They said, yeah, jump on there with us. He said, we're stopped just outside Lüneburg. You get off quick and go. So I won this Paris Express. I went there on the foot plate. And lo and behold, he stopped just outside. People started wondering why they'd be stopped. I was out that train in seconds and away. And then I made my way to Eva's house, knocked on the door. It was the 9th of May because it was my birthday. And lo and behold, more what she expected to see me again, there I was. I'm going to cut the story a bit shorter. Several months later, I did the same thing again. Came back. So she really knew then that I was serious about her. So when I got this posting, then they said to the Ochsen Bucks in Lüneburg, of course I jumped at it, and that was the reason why. I took a draft over there with me. They got detailed off different companies, and they come to me and says, what do you specialise in, Sergeant? I said, oh, I'm a band sergeant. We haven't got no band here. Not my fault, they posted me here. Well, we don't know what to do with you then, so I left it at that. I mean, I could have done duty work. I thought, well, I'll just let it go for a minute. What didn't go down well, I'm still wearing my DCLI badge. I didn't change it.
You weren't rebadged to the Ochsen Bucks?
No, but they expected me to do it all automatically.
Oh, did they?
But
what happened about that?
Well, I said, well, I'm DCLI, I just left it like that. They didn't make a lot of it at that moment. Didn't know what to do with me, so they put me in as sergeant's mess caterer, which I didn't like anyway. So then the order room sergeant said, they're going to go get you posted. Oh, are they? Yeah, he said, they're going to get onto records and get you posted somewhere. Oh, it's all right then. So lo and behold, a job did came through. Posted to Flensburg.
On the Danish border?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The takeover caterer of a officer's club. I thought, well, all right. I didn't want to go to the Ochsen Bucks, something or the other.
You didn't get on well with the Ochsen Bucks?
No, not somehow. I didn't go with it.
What was it about them that put you off?
They wasn't DCLI, put it that way. And I wanted, as I didn't have a band, I wanted to make a clean break.
Yes.
So, anyway, I was attached in the first instance to an RE unit for accommodation.
This is at Flensburg?
At Flensburg.
Yeah.
And they made inquiries and says, well, this officer club had waited so long for somebody posted in, they put one of their own men in. It's been gone. So they said, well, you better stay here for a bit. So I stayed there for about a week. And they said, well, you better go back to your unit. And I was, oh, dear, dear. So I got back as far as Hamburg. And I thought to myself, I could do something about this, surely. The posting had come from second echelon. So I found out that they were on the outskirts of Hamburg. So I went second echelon, found out the officer who had done this posting in the first place. He said they should never have posted you back to the Oxen Bucks. He said, you belong to me. He said, once they washed your hands of it, he said, you're my responsibility.
What regiment was he from?
Big one?
Do you remember what regiment was he from, this officer?
No, I can't. He was a staff officer in the second echelon there. So he said, well, we better find you another job. So he opened the big book up and going down where there was a list of people been under his command, which were extra regimental employed. You don't belong to that particular unit, but you may be attached to them.
Yeah.
So he came down and I saw under 401 DCRE a sergeant's name in Lüneburg. And I said to him, he's not there anymore. He said, I don't think about it. I said, I swear to you that on such and such a date, I was on the railway station at Lüneburg saying goodbye to him, going back to England. He said, they haven't sent me the part two order yet. He said, that is definite. I said, yes. So he said, do you want the job? I said, yes. So I got posted back to Lüneburg on the strength of that and was doing Q sergeant for the 401 DCRE.
What's DCRE?
District Commander Engineers.
Had you been a Q sergeant ever before?
No. So,
how did you learn the job?
We're getting down to it quick. There was an admin officer there, so it didn't turn out to be too difficult. We had to do pay, rations, accommodation, and PO and the transport. We had several cars and lorries, which did, because this DCRE looked after all the barracks, all in the big area there.
Was it a large unit?
And the stores and all that type of thing. So the running of the transport and their fuel, that came under it as well.
Was it a big unit, the DCRE?
British staff, no. There was only two other sergeants. And a couple of sappers, we call them there. But they employed about 100 Germans. And because of the, shortage of food in those days, the army gave their employees a midday meal. And this is what I had to draw those rations. And we had two women cooks for that type of thing and a requisition building what we had and organised their meals that way.
Did they get standard British food at those
meals? Yes, it was standard British food, just the same. It was mostly made up as a stew anyway, what they got. But I got to know the people at the supply depot and they sometimes gave me a little bit extra. My first day in that DCRE though was a bit of a problem. I reported in the morning. The admin officer said, oh, there's an arms inspection. There's an ordnance W01 inspecting the arms. They're in such and such a building. You'll find a storm in there. I hadn't been there yet. So I went there, and the arms were kept up in the attic, locked up. No sooner I got there, this W01 turned up. Went to the storeroom, got all the first rifle, it was filthy. Glanced around that and said, well, I said, this should have been laid on, all cleaned up. I said, I said to the storeman, do you receive any orders? He said, no. So this is going to be a black report to somebody.
He struck me.
Yeah.
So I said to this W1, I said, well, look, you can see I'm an infantryman. I said, it's my first day here. I said, if I'd known about it, this would have been in first-class condition for you to inspect. And we had a talk about it. He said, right, he said, I'll take your word for it. He said, when will these rifles be clean? I said, from now onwards. So
how many rifles were there to be looked after?